jumper on the way. He hits, and it's a three. It's a franchise record, 54 for Karl Anthony Towns.
Wolvescast, audio on demand.
Gibson struggling to get it in. Finds Wiggins. Andrew around a town screen. Inside of midcourt. Launches the three. At the buzzer. Banks it in. Andrew Wiggins has won it at the buzzer. Lobs it up ahead. Tyus rises up and slams it with the right hand. Taj Gibson with a defensive play of the game. It's over. It's over. Celebrate, Wolves Nation.
Welcome into our season debut of Wolvescast. John Folke alongside Cal Soderquist right here on the Timberwolves Radio Network. Got a busy show to get to. We're going to shine the spotlight on Gorgui Dieng coming off a solid performance off the bench in the season opening setback at San Antonio. We're also going to get a Iowa Wolves update as we check in with Minnesota's G League affiliate. Be joined by team president Ryan Grant. They've got the G League draft coming up this weekend. Plus, Cal will bring us our three in the key segment, key stats and trends to look at here as we continue throughout this season. But Cal, let's start by looking back at the season opener in San Antonio. It's obviously been an interesting couple of weeks surrounding this team, a preseason that saw them go just 1-4 and finish, dropping their final four games, and including, you know, that huge performance by the Milwaukee Bucks in the preseason finale. But Jimmy returned after not playing in the preseason. He had a couple of practices, helped Minnesota in a big way. 23 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 4 steals. I thought his energy, his activity, the hustle plays, all those things really helped Minnesota shore up their defense and put them in a position to knock off San Antonio.
Yeah, we kind of heard that throughout the week or the days leading up to the game that, you know, from his teammates, from himself, that they didn't doubt that once Jimmy stepped onto that floor, he would kind of have that same energy, same intensity about him, even though he was away from the team. Like you said, he missed those preseason games, but he still busted his tail out there. And I think that's something that can still connect you to your teammates, regardless of what's going on outside. I think his teammates have no choice but to see that effort and try to duplicate it and also respect it.
Minnesota, 16 fast break points against San Antonio. Now, when you look at pace, the Wolves and Spurs game had a pace of 99, which was just below the league average a year ago. Meanwhile, the pace of play last night in the Wednesday, where basically every team was in action, was incredible. New York and Atlanta played with the highest pace. It was like 117 in terms of number of possessions, and a ton of points were put up on the board in that one. But the Wolves played with a high pace during the preseason. They turned it over a lot, though. In this opening game, after turning it over 4 times in the opening frame, turned it over just 12 times over the final 3 quarters, and the turnovers weren't nearly the kind that were backbreaking as they were early in the ball game. But 16 fast break points, did a good job of taking care of the basketball. 11 total turnovers in that game, so 4 of them in the opening frame. Did you like the pace that Minnesota played with?
I think so for the most part, and you know that's kind of what preseason is about, is feeling out what you're good at, what wrinkles can we add in, what doesn't work so well, what do we need to scrap at least temporarily, and also you wonder too if teams like Minnesota and San Antonio are a bit off that league average or what we were seeing last night elsewhere because of the lineups they featured. It's still kind of that traditional. Taj Gibson is certainly a versatile big guy. Karl Anthony Towns is as well. But when San Antonio trots out kind of LaMarcus Aldridge and Pau Gasol, and you have lineups that feature two of those big guys, the Wolves are sometimes countering that with Gorgui Dieng and Cat. Maybe your pace is going to be a little bit slower. The possessions will be a little bit more slowed down. But like you said, beneficial to the Wolves in the sense that they took care of the basketball.
Well, and 16 fast break points to just 8 fast break points for the San Antonio Spurs that helped make up some of the deficit in terms of second chance points. The Spurs had 25 to go along with 14 offensive, make it 19 offensive rebounds. The Wolves had 14 offensive rebounds for 14 second chance points. Certainly that is something we'll keep an eye on throughout the season. All right, coming up next, Gorgui Dieng. He stepped up off the bench last night, had 12 points, part of 24 bench points for Minnesota as they battled San Antonio. We put him in the spotlight right here on the Timberwolves Radio Network.
The Timberwolves are back, and so is College Night, presented by U.S. Bank. For select home games, college students can get upper-level tickets for $10 by using a valid .edu email address online. Visit Timberwolves.com/college for more info. Minnesota Timberwolves, all eyes north.
Hey, don't forget, Wolves fans, single-game tickets for the 2018-2019 regular season are on sale. Now lock in your seats to see the Pack in action against any team this season right here at Target Center. Just head over to Timberwolves.com to get your seats now. Welcome back to Wolves Cast. John Folkey with you here. Minnesota opened their season earlier this week, falling in San Antonio. In that contest, Karl-Anthony Towns battled foul trouble, forcing head coach Tom Thibodeau to go to his bench, and up stepped Gorgui Dieng, posting 12 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, and 2 steals in the opener. G is the longest-tenured member of the Wolves after being drafted back in 2013, and he is the focus of this week's spotlight.
You've been with this team 6 years. What did it mean for you to help this team get to the postseason last year?
I mean, it means a lot. You know, we wanted to get in the playoffs for so long. The closest we was 2014, I think, 13 or 14, and last year we got a great chance to make the playoffs. So we all had it one goal. Just to make the playoffs.
What did you learn through that season just about what it takes to become a playoff team?
It's tough, you know. It's not easy to get in the playoffs. You know, every game is important. Every play is important. And you don't even know who's going to make that play. So you have to focus and try to do every details matter.
And we think back to everything coming down to that final game last year against Denver. Did that really kind of open your guys' eyes to just how important every single game is throughout the season so you don't end up in a situation like that?
Absolutely. You know, there is no – when you're in the NBA, you're always learning or you don't, you know. I think last year we all learned our lesson that every play matters. I'm not even going to talk about games, but every play matters.
And probably even more so when you look at how good the Western Conference is going to be this year.
Absolutely. I mean, the West is very loaded. You know, we have great players and teams that was in the bottom. They got better, whether it's over draft pick or trade or signing free agents. So the West is going to be very, very, very tough.
Does that kind of get you excited, the competitor in you?
Very. I mean, if you're a competitor, you should be excited because if you want to go against any players, you want to go against the greatest. And I think we have a lot of talent on the West.
That's Wolves forward Gorgui Dieng. Appreciate him taking some time to join us here on Wolves Cast. All right, still to come, Cal Soderquist rejoins for our 3 in the Key segment. But coming up next, we get a G League update as I check in with Iowa Wolves president Ryan Grant. This is Wolves Cast on the Timberwolves Radio Network.
The season is here, and unforgettable experiences are just waiting for you and your group. Catch the pack in action and get in on pregame performances, player high fives, photo ops, and more. Find your experience now at Timberwolves.com/groups. Minnesota Timberwolves, all eyes north.
It's big, it's big. I remember when I was a little kid going to things like this, and, you know, the people before me came and, you know, passed down the torch. So, you know, I feel like, you know, giving back is always huge. So anytime I get any opportunity I get, I feel like I should.
That's Timberwolves rookie Josh Okogie. He and Lynx guard Danielle Robinson put on a clinic last week, part of the NBA's new Her Time to Play initiative, part of a larger junior NBA program that is happening this season. You can get more details on the Her Time to Play initiative at junior.mba.com. Wolves Cast continues. John Folkey with you here. The NBA season, of course, is underway. Meanwhile, the G League still a few weeks from tipping off, but there is plenty of happening, including the G League draft coming up this Saturday. The Iowa Wolves, Minnesota's full-time affiliate, will hold the number 11 pick in each of the 4 rounds of the draft. And for this week's Iowa Wolves update, I caught up with team president Ryan Grant. We'll start our conversation talking about the different ways the G League teams fill out their rosters. there were the open tryouts. I think they had one in the Twin Cities and then one down in Des Moines, which is sort of like one of the steps in terms of identifying talent. Were you guys able to take advantage of that, find anybody maybe in the open tryouts that you're going to invite to camp, which kicks off here relatively soon?
Yeah, you know, open tryouts is an interesting process. I mean, it's a lot of fun. We get a lot of guys that come in, and there's certainly some talent that comes through. It's amazing to me, some of the guys that we see at tryouts. You know, the process is, you know, we end up having them come through the open tryout system, and then we nominate guys to go into the G League draft. There's guys that will end up picking up. I'm not sure. I haven't talked to our coaching staff yet. You know, our roster is pretty much in flux until we get through the G League draft. And I haven't had a good opportunity to speak with our coaching staff. They all got here this past weekend. And so we're going to kind of talk through what our roster looks like and the potential. And the open tryouts it's a vital part to what we do.
The NBA just sent out a notice about some of the experimental rules that will be implemented in the G League, and they'll kind of just see how those rules play out and whether or not eventually they'll make their way into the NBA. And some of the rules from last year, like the 14-second reset on the shot clock after an offensive rebound, that one did make it in. Of course, that following in line with the FIBA rules, but when you're president of a team and you're in a league and you've got experimental rules like this, is it kind of exciting to see how some of these rules will play out? I mean, they're not crazy rules like a 7-point shot, you know, from the stands or anything like that, but is it kind of fun to see how some of these rules do play out and whether or not they are successful at your, you know, in your league and then when they matriculate to the NBA as well?
Again, we go back to the education process, right? And we talk about our what our fans get to see as when they come to some of our games. You know, the 14-second shot clock reset was definitely one thing that, you know, went through our system. I think we had four officials, you know, mm-hmm. on the court for, you know, a portion of our season as well. And, you know, we're guinea pigs in some aspect. You know, and it makes it tough on our staff. And, you know, when you're doing stats and you've been a statistician for a long time and you've worked a clock for a long time, and, you know, to do the 14-second reset, you know, it's just different things that our staff has to get used to. And but we've got such a veteran crew, and it's been a lot of fun to kind of see what the league throws at us year after year over year. And it's a cool position for us because, you know, the league does trust us to work out some of the kinks in some of these plans, or to see how they work in logistically and through game operations. So, you know, it's fun.
That's Iowa Wolves team president Ryan Grant. Iowa kicks off their second season as a full-time affiliate of the Minnesota Timberwolves coming up November 2nd at home against Salt Lake. Be sure to keep it here. We'll wrap things up as Cal Soderquist rejoins me next with our Three in the Key segment on the Timberwolves Radio Network.
Experience the pack like never before with the official mobile app of the Minnesota Timberwolves. Whether you're at home, at Target Center, or anywhere around the globe, the app is your remote control to all things Timberwolves. Head over to the App Store or Google Play to download it now.
Wrapping up our season debut of WolvesCast, John Folkey with you, rejoined by Cal Soderquist. Time to bring us our Three in the Key segment. It's stats and trends to keep an eye on as we head into the next stretch of games from Minnesota. Season opener Friday, home opener should say Friday against Cleveland, then at Dallas on Saturday, home to Indy on Monday, and wrapping up this stretch at Toronto next Wednesday. So, Cal, as far as stats and trends to keep an eye on, what do you got?
Well, let's start with, as far as the next week's worth of opponents, we'll start with three key players, and let's start right away Friday night. Like you mentioned, the Cleveland Cavaliers in town. Kevin Love, Wolves fans, very familiar with this guy. Spent a lot of time in a Wolves uniform. In that final season with Minnesota, his average is 26 points, 12.5 boards, little more than 4 assists per game, and he obviously gets traded, spends 4 years as LeBron James's teammate, which we know wasn't always a cakewalk for K-Love. But now, after those 4 seasons, he's kind of the feature guy once again. And I think it'll be fun to see how Cleveland sort of revolves that offense around him as they feature him as the guy.
Yeah, Ty Lue has said as much, that they want Minnesota Kevin Love playing for the Cleveland Cavaliers this season.
All right, second key player then, the Pacers in town on Monday, Miles Turner. There are some similarities between he and Karl Anthony Towns, both very versatile, skilled big men. Both came out of that 2015 draft class, and then subsequently both inked some long-term extensions. How about this? Only six players in the history of the NBA have averaged at least 11 points, 5.5 rebounds, one block, while shooting 30% or better from deep in their age 21 season. So here are the six players that had done it. Kevin Durant, Tracy McGrady, Lamar Odom, Kristaps Porzingis, Paul Pierce, and Karl Anthony Towns. And Miles Turner joined that group to make it seven last year in his age 21 season. So he's doing a little bit of everything. I think he's just looking to maybe grow a little bit more into that role with Indy. Third key player, third and final, Kyle Lowry. We also know this name very well. In the last two seasons in games against the Wolves, in four games, Lowry and the Raptors, Lowry's averaging 25 points on 47% shooting, including 48% from deep. And I think another fun reason to keep an eye on him when the Wolves head north of the border Wednesday is the fact that he had all that chemistry built up in that partnership with DeMar DeRozan. Six seasons those guys spent together as backcourt partners. Obviously, DeRozan gone. Bring in Kawhi Leonard and Danny Green. And I know Kawhi, not technically the backcourt partner. He's the small forward. We'll talk more about that in a second. But still has to be an adjustment for Kyle Lowry, getting to know those two new teammates in that starting lineup in both Kawhi and Danny Green. So I'm very curious to see if there's any sort of a adjustment period, a bump in the road at all.
Well, there wasn't in their opener. 27 points for Lowry, 8 assists. Meanwhile, 24 and 12, 12 rebounds, that is, for Kawhi Leonard.
All right, let's move to two key stats then real quick. Two key stats about these upcoming opponents. First, Cleveland, and the stat is really just a final score, 127 to 99. Wolves fans will recognize that. That was last January when Minnesota thumped the Cleveland Cavaliers, a 28-point home victory here in the Target Center. It halted a six-game Wolves losing streak against Cleveland, and what a night it was. It was a sellout, one of
16 sellouts this season. Minnesota 30-11 last year at home, their third-best home record in franchise history, one of just six teams in the NBA with 30 or more wins at home. That was a fun night.
So we hope to at least try to duplicate that atmosphere when the Cavs are in town on Friday. Tickets at Timberwolves.com. Final key stat, 15 of 16, and credit to Josh Lewenberg on Twitter for this. In the last 16 years, the Toronto Raptors have now started 15 different players at their small forward position in their opening night starting lineup. Kawhi Leonard, of course, becoming the 15th guy. What a list of names we have here. It goes all the way back to 2004, Jalen Rose, a guy like Morris Peterson in 06. Other names, Rudy Gay, Rasul Butler, Linus Kleiza, I think I'm saying
Linus
that right.
Linus Kleiza, yeah.
Hidu Turkoglu, Michael Curry. So really a revolving door at that three spot for the Raptors, and it continues now with Kawhi. Let's close up real quick with one key matchup, and this happens on Monday with the Pacers in town at the Target Center. Karl Anthony Towns and Miles Turner. I don't know how much they'll defend one another, but we kind of mentioned the similarities between these two. Maybe Kat just a couple steps ahead of Miles in the progression right now in terms of where they want to be individually, but both guys super talented and both can do so much on the floor, especially offensively. I think it would be a lot of fun to watch these two guys kind of square off. Obviously, Kat, a subpar opening night in San Antonio, and hopefully he'll have righted things by this time, by the time Monday comes around, but still should be a lot of fun watching those two square off.
All right, get your tickets, Timberwolves.com. That's our Three in the Key segment, episode one of WolvesCast. For Cal Sodequist, I'm John Folke. We'll talk to you again next week right here on the Timberwolves Radio Network.
This has been a presentation of the Timberwolves Radio Network. Minnesota, we've got a Battle of the Border on October 26th right here at Target Center when the Timberwolves take on Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Milwaukee Bucks. Visit Timberwolves.com to get tickets to the action now. Minnesota Timberwolves, all eyes north.